Okay, good morning. My name is Gabriel Pedroso. I'm a grad student at the University of California in Davis. And today I'm going to be presenting part of my PhD research. I work mainly with nitrogen and water use in different biofuel crops. But I'll be talking about nitrogen and water use in irrigated switchgrass systems in California. So just a little bit of the background. Switchgrass is a perennial C4 grass native to the central North American prairie. And traditionally, it has been used as a pasture and a forage. But lately, it has received a lot of attention as one of the most promising crops for cellulosic ethanol production. Okay, as one of the most promising bioenergy crops. And we have been studying switchgrass in California in the past 3 years, and due to the longer growing season, we have been using a two-harvest system. Usually, switchgrass is managed as a one-harvest system where the plants are allowed to flower and grow during the entire year and harvest at the end of the year. But we have a longer growing season here, and the plants flower in July, so since once they flower, do not accumulate much more biomass, so we harvest in July and in October again. Okay? But by doing this two-harvest system, we found some problems. First, the 70% of the annual biomass is produced in the first harvest, and the plants are really green here, and so they have a lot of nitrogen in the above-ground biomass, and we are removing a lot of nitrogen from our fields. Also, the second harvest produces only 30% of the annual biomass and requires all the additional inputs, such as fertilizers, irrigation, field operations, harvesting, baling, and transporting. And the plants are also green at the second harvest. They do not have enough time for finesse. So we thought that maybe for California, one harvest system would be also more suitable, and we could possibly have increased internal nitrogen efficiency due to translocation, and also we could possibly use less water since the plants do not accumulate more biomass after flowering. Could cut off the irrigation in July and let just the plants finesse until the end of the year. So then we came up with this low and high input system. So a low input system is a one harvest. It has one harvest in October and irrigate until flowering. So the plants are gonna, we're gonna do our nitrogen fertilization in March, begin irrigating. We're gonna cut off the irrigation in July and let the plants finesse, and it's gonna be harvested at the end of October. And the high input system has two harvests, one in July, another one in October, and it's irrigated during the entire growing season. Okay? So our hypothesis is that a low input system produces less annual biomass, but also removes and requires less fertilizer nitrogen, and also less water, and has higher and water use efficiencies. And the objectives of our studies are to determine in low and high input systems the biomass productivity, the optimal N rate, and the total nitrogen take and removal. We're also looking at the fertilizer recovery. So, and we want to measure the fertilizer and uptake and the removal, and we also look at water use. So a little bit of the materials and method. We use a split plot, randomized complete block design with four replications, and we established the switchgrass field in Davis in 2008, and we used the variety Alamo. It's a lowland southern variety. Okay, and all the data that I'm showing was collected in 2009. And our main treatments are low and high input system. I already told you what they are. And sub-treatments are 0, 100, and 200 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, which was surface applied in a single application in March, in spring, as ammonium sulfate. And we also have the 100 kilograms of nitrogen plots. We have some micro plots with 15 nitrogen. We used 10% enriched ammonium sulfate. And they plot the microplots are 1.5 by 1.5 meters. And all the samples, so for measuring the fertilizer recovery here, and all the samples, we took a lot of different samples, but I'm going to be combining them into above ground biomass, which are tillers and residues, below ground biomass, which is crown and roots down to 3 meters, and the soil, we took samples down to 3 meters also. And we measured biomass, the background 15 nitrogen, and the reached 15 nitrogen, and also the irrigation. Okay, so let's go to the results. Let's look first at the biomass productivity and the yield response to nitrogen. So overall, the high input system here on the right, we have the high input system here and the low input system, and we have the 3 N rate for both systems. Okay, so the blue bars are the second harvest in October, and the red bars are the first harvest in July. So overall, the high input system produced significantly more biomass than the low input, and produced on average 24, 25 tons per hectare, and the low input produced 18, 19 tons per hectare on average. Okay, so, and looking at the yield response to nitrogen, we saw a significant response from 0 to 100, but we did not see any significant response from 100 to 200 in both systems. Okay, so based on the first year results, the optimal N rate would be 100 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. And just remember this, that we did not see any significant response from 100 to 200 for both systems, okay? Now, the high input system produces more biomass and the low input, but how much water is it using? So we applied to the high input system 675 millimeters of water during the entire year. That equals 2.2 acre feet, and a little bit over 1,000 millimeters to the high input system, which equals 3.8 acre feet. Okay, and so the high input system is using way more water than the low input, like total water use. And when you look at the irrigation use efficiency, here we have kilograms of dry matter per millimeter of the water applied. The highest water use efficiency that we found was in the low input system with 100 kilograms of nitrogen applied. Okay? Yeah, so this is this should be the low input system here and the high input system, and this is 0, 100, 200 kilograms of nitrogen, and this is 0, 100, and 200 also. Okay, so we saw that the high input system produces more biomass, but also uses way more water than the low input. So let's look now at the N removal of both systems. So again here, the blue bars are referring to the low input system, and the green bars are the green and red bars are referring to the first and second harvest of the high input system. Okay, so it's clearly the high input system removes much more nitrogen than the low input system, and 80% of the nitrogen is being removed in the first harvest, okay? And we removed on average in the high input system 175 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare versus 75 kilograms in the low input system. And what's really important here also, if you look only at the 100 kilograms of nitrogen treatment, we are applying here 100 kilograms of nitrogen, but we're removing almost 200 kilograms of nitrogen per year. And if you remember my first graph that I was showing the yield response to nitrogen, that we did not see any significant response from 100 to 200, but we are removing much more nitrogen here, so the plots are getting then depleted, so we expect to see a shift to in the end response to the 200 kilograms of nitrogen. Okay? So now that we already saw the high input system produces more biomass but uses a lot more water and also removes a lot more nitrogen, let's look at the fertilizer recovery. These are the results from the microplots, the 15 nitrogen plots, and here we have the total recovery and here the losses. So the blue bar is the low input system, the red bar the high input system. So we were able to find a lot of the nitrogen that we applied, a lot of the fertilizer nitrogen. We found 92% in the low input system and 84% in the high input system, and they were not significant. So both systems were really good at minimizing fertilizer losses, and they were not significantly different from each other. But the biggest difference here is where we found the fertilizer nitrogen. So here we have above ground biomass, below ground biomass, and soil. And again, we have the low input system and the first and second harvest of the high input system. Okay, this is all data from the end of the year. We took all these above ground and below ground and soil samples, and we have also the data from the first harvest. So we were able to find 45% of the fertilizer nitrogen in the above ground biomass in the high input system, and we found 20% of the fertilizer nitrogen in the above ground biomass in the low input system. And from this 45% here that we found, 42% was being removed by harvest. So 42% of the fertilizer that we applied was not within our field anymore, was being removed. And when we look at the below ground biomass, how much of the fertilizer nitrogen is in the crown and the roots, we found that 27% of the fertilizer was still in the below ground biomass in the low input system versus only 12% in the high input system. And when you look at the soil, we see the same thing. We see a lot of more nitrogen, fertilizer nitrogen, that is still in the soil and way less in the high input system. Okay, so the low input system was much more conservative in terms of keeping the nitrogen within the below ground biomass and the soil, and the high input system was removed. Like 45% of the fertilizer in the was being removed from the field, and 40% was in the first harvest. Okay, so this is a summary table. This I'm showing the percent change in the high input system in relation to the low input system. So when you look at the biomass, the high input system produced 28% more biomass, but it also used 53% more water and removed 143% more nitrogen. And when you look at the fertilizer nitrogen removal, the high input system removed 133% more fertilizer nitrogen and had 52% less nitrogen in the below ground biomass, fertilizer nitrogen, and 33% less fertilizer nitrogen in the soil. So if you remember my hypothesis, we met all of them, like the low input system achieved lower biomass production and also achieved lower water use, higher water use efficiency, removed less nitrogen, removed less fertilizer nitrogen, and conserved greater fertilizer nitrogen within the plant, the low ground and soil systems. Okay, so I'd like to acknowledge all the funding sources and all the students that have been helping me during these years, and if you have any questions.
Questions?
Yep.
I was just curious about the crown, the low ground biomass. How much you actually need, how much did you do that, and how much did you get?
So the question was about the methods for measuring below ground biomass, crown, and roots. Yeah, we dig a pit of 30 centimeters by 30 centimeters and 15 centimeters deep, and we separated the crown and the roots from there. So we were able to measure how much of the nitrogen was in the crown and how much it was in the roots, but I divided them, I combined them into one sample for the sake of time here. Yeah, it took quite a while.